Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we come before you now and we pray that you will open our minds and open our hearts. And Lord, let your Spirit use your word to teach us and give us a growing love for you and to draw us closer to you and to each other. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So this morning we're going to continue our sermon series on the book of Galatians. As you may remember from past weeks, Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul about 30 years after the time of Jesus. It was written to the churches that Paul founded during his previous missionary trips in the region, the Roman province of Galatia, which is located in kind of in what is the central part now of modern-day Turkey. Now, when Paul wrote this letter, he was probably in Antioch, which was the third largest city in the Roman Empire after Rome itself and Alexandria, Egypt. And Antioch is located in what is now modern-day Syria. So today's passage, Paul uses his words to counter the lies of the false teachers. He focuses on the followers of Jesus being spiritual children of God, because like Abraham, we are saved by faith. And this is God's promise to Abraham, and God always keeps his promises. Listen now to the word of the Lord.
Chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, and we're on page 1032 in your Bible. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed. Now it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. But the law is not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. The purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. Brothers and sisters, I'm using a human illustration. No one sets aside or makes additions to the validated human will. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as though referring to many, but referring to one, and to your seed, who is Christ. My point is this: the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously established by God, and thus cancel the promise. For if the inheritance is based on the law, it is no longer based on the promise, but God has graciously given it to Abraham through the promise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So when I was a chaplain at UCLA Medical Center, one of my supervisors had a sister that was in the entertainment industry there in Hollywood. And during one of our conferences, our supervisor told us this story about her sister's latest audition for a part in a movie or a commercial. I can't remember which it was. But anyway, she didn't get the part. But what was really devastating was the email that she received from the casting director's administrative assistant. Instead of crafting a fresh email, the administrative assistant must have just been in a hurry, and she just kind of forwarded the email from the woman who was the casting director. And you know how when you forward an email, yours is kind of on top, and the one below, the forward is kind of below it. So the administrative assistant's email was cordial, but it was direct. But the casting director's email below it was just three words: not pretty enough. Devastating, right? Now, this wasn't Harvey Weinstein writing this. No, these were two people who should have known better, who should have been more sensitive. But I think if we think about it, we can all remember a time in our own lives when we weren't something enough. Not smart enough, not good enough, not strong enough, something. But today we find that when it comes to God, nobody is good enough. But God loves us all anyway, and he provides somebody who is good enough to save us and to make us good enough. As today we see, the curse and the promise. Now, this would be a good time for you to pull out your sermon notes. You can follow along and see where we're going today. You know, you may think that I do these sermons just for you, but I'll tell you, I honestly learn a lot of things when I go through the study to prepare these sermons too. Like, for this one, I learned how God saves us through Jesus. And I was very grateful for the gaining of that knowledge. So we start out today finding that those who try to be good enough by keeping the law are cursed. But don't worry, because Jesus saves us from the curse. Because the promise to Abraham of a descendant to save us is given to us in Abraham, and we see that in Paul's writing. And we must remember that God always keeps his promises. So let's start out by taking a look at those who try to be good enough by keeping the law and find that they are cursed. So Paul kicks off this section of his letter by saying that everyone who relies on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, whoever does not do everything written in the law is cursed. Now, that's pretty harsh, right? But hold on, stay with me, don't give up. In other words, everyone who tries to be good enough by following the rules is under divine judgment, and that brings condemnation. Everyone who tries to be good enough by following the Jewish religious law is cursed by that very religious law, because no one is ever able to follow the regulations of the law perfectly, every time, all the time. And that was what was required, perfection. Everybody makes a mistake at some point or another, and we all sin at some point or another. Everyone except one, and that one is Jesus. Now, to be cursed was to be eternally separated from God. And you probably noticed here that Paul is quoting our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy, which God gave to Moses. And now Paul says, now from this it's clear that no one is justified or made right with God by keeping the Jewish religious law. But instead, those who are made right by God live by faith. Now remember, last week we discovered that Abraham had faith in God and it was given credit to him as being righteous. To live by faith means to respond to God's gift of grace, and that leads to eternal life. But it also means that we live our daily lives trusting God to take care of us, not only in our physical lives, but also in eternity. But Paul says the law is not based on faith. And a person who follows the Jewish religious law will live by it and not by faith. So now Paul here is trying to continue to counter those false teachers that we've talked about off and on all along, and to convince the Galatians that a Gentile person or a non-Jewish person does not have to become a Jewish person in order to be saved. If a person tries to be good enough by keeping the religious law, they're not allowing themselves to be made right with God by having faith in Jesus. Furthermore, if they want to earn God's favor by following the rules, they have to follow every rule, every time, all the time. There's no room for mistakes, let alone willfully breaking the law. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. Is there any of us here today who have always followed any set of rules perfectly, every time, all the time? I don't think so. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that we should ignore the rules. No, not at all. Rules are made in order to order our society and to keep us safe and make things as fair as they possibly can be. But again, let's be honest with ourselves. And just in case you're wondering, I will not ask you for a show of hands of how many people drove faster than 45 miles an hour between Walmart and the stoplight on Poplar Road coming here this morning. I will tell you, though, that when I came in, drove in this morning, I knew I was going to say this, so I specifically set my cruise control at 45 miles an hour. And I'm sure the people behind me were just ready to have massive road rage, but nevertheless, there's two lanes they could go around. But God always keeps his promise. Since it's written, everyone who does not do everything written in the law is cursed, we now find that Jesus saves us from the curse. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law by taking the curse on himself. The word redeem here is the same word that is used in ancient times for the buying of the freedom of a slave. Jesus bought us out of slavery to sin and gave us our freedom to love and serve God. But it wasn't just the Jewish people that were required by God to keep the law. No, it was God's law which he gave to the Jewish people to share with the entire world. So anyone, Jew or Gentile, who does not keep it perfectly is cursed to die for their sins. No one was good enough to keep from violating the demands of the law. No one. But Jesus saves us from the curse by taking that curse on himself for our behalf. Because it's written, anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. And Jesus was hung on a cross made from the wood of a tree to die for the sins of all of us. Jesus was the one who paid the unpayable price to save all of humanity in order that the blessing of Abraham might be shared with the Gentiles so that we could receive the promise of the Holy Spirit by faith. So Jesus took the curse upon himself so that the Gentiles would be forgiven for our sins too. The blessing of Abraham is Jesus himself. And Paul is focusing here on sharing that blessing with the Gentiles. After they have faith in Jesus, the Gentiles receive a further blessing of the Holy Spirit in their lives. The presence of God, which marks our relationship with God. A clear path to the throne room, if you will. The opportunity to talk to God on a personal level in prayer anytime we want. Because God always keeps his promises. Like the promise to Abraham of a descendant to save us. But how do we know God won't change his mind? Paul says he wants to give us an illustration. No one sets aside or makes changes to a human will. Now you got to understand, he's not talking about the good old US of A in 2019 and our wills and trusts. No, it's not that at all. In this time and in this culture, once a will was established, or we might say recorded, as odd as it sounds, once a will, or more precisely, a covenant was cut, it was binding, and it could not be changed. In other words, once a person, even God himself, made a promise, they could not change it. Even if the person who made the will wanted to change it, they could not. The promises were spoken to Abraham and his descendant. Paul does not say his descendants as though they're referring to many, but referring to one, who is Jesus. So the will or the covenant or the promise that was made to Abraham, remember back in Genesis, God made that covenant with Abraham, which we talked about last week. But not only was it made to Abraham, it was also inherited by Abraham's descendant. God is here not speaking of all of Abraham's descendants, but to that one in particular. And that one is Jesus. The promises were that God would be their God and they would be his people. God the Father made a promise to God the Son through Abraham that both Jews and Gentiles would be given to him as his followers, his adopted sisters and brothers, saved from their sins, made right with God through the actions of God the Son by redeeming them. And God the Holy Spirit by drawing us to God the Father, God the Son, and to himself, God the Holy Spirit. Even though God gave the law to Moses 430 years after the covenant were promised, it did not invalidate or override the promise which was established by God. So it didn't cancel the promise. Remember, in this time and in this culture, a will was binding and could not be changed. Even the giving of the law could not change the promise of God to Abraham and to Jesus, because God always keeps his promises. Now, if the will and the inheritance is based on the law, then it is no longer based on a promise. But God has graciously given it to Abraham based on a promise. An inheritance, which is based on law, depends on obedience to the law. In other words, perfectly following the rules. An inheritance based on a promise depends on God to keep his promise. One is based on God's law and humanity's ability to perfectly keep the law, at which, as we all know, we are doomed to fail at. The other is based on God's promise and humanity's faith in God, which, by the way, even our faith is a gift from God. The other is based on promise and humanity's faith in God, which, by the way, as I said, even our faith is a gift from God. We cannot possibly keep the law perfectly. Even the best of us can't follow the rules every single time. But God cannot fail to perfectly keep his promise. Furthermore, an inheritance then, as now, is not something we earn, but it's a gift. God gives us that gift of salvation because of Jesus, because he made a promise, and God always keeps his promises. Now, we've probably all encountered someone who made us a promise and didn't keep it. Maybe it was a childhood friend or a sibling that promised to share half of their Halloween candy with us, but then decided to eat it all themselves and probably got sick in the process. Or at least that's what our moms told us, right? Or maybe it was something a lot more serious and a lot more important. Maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe they couldn't keep their promises because of circumstances beyond their control. Or maybe it just wasn't that important to them. Or maybe we were the ones that didn't keep the promise. Because people don't always keep their promises. But God does. If we put our faith and our trust in God, he will not let us down in the end. Because if we trust him, in the end, he will save us and we'll spend eternity with him, because God always keeps his promises. Would you join me in prayer, please? Lord God, thank you that you always keep your promises. Promises to save us, to be with us, and to love us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.